We, the people of TSP, are heading into a time of transformation and celebration. And these are not just idle thoughts or empty words. This is a reality. The time of celebration will unfold throughout the coming year as we mark the 125th anniversary of Trinity Church and the church board and the stewardship committee, the stewardship circle, have already started to make plans for this celebration. Those of us who are participating in the season for commitment meals are also feeding in our ideas for the celebration. A time of transformation will also start to unfold during the coming year. We're currently in the middle of a 5-year plan in which we've determined to establish what we're calling long-term viability for the operation of what we know as Trinity St. Paul's United Church and Center for Faith, Justice, and the Arts. Now, in fiscal terms, as our treasurer likes to remind us, this is essentially a $1 million a year operation, which is being run by the lay people and staff of our congregation. And this is no easy task. Under normal circumstances, such a task would be beyond the scope and wherewithal of a regular United Church congregation. And I'm not betraying any confidences by observing that we're just barely managing to keep the operation going. And after some hard analysis and very good work on the part of various groups and individuals in our governing structure, we're coming to the realization that we need to streamline our operations, update our facilities, and restructure our administration. More specific information about all of that will be discussed in the congregational meeting after worship today. Now, as we go into such a time, it's important that we find strength in our identity as a congregation. And of course, as a faith community, that means we find strength in our theology, in our understanding of the source of our common ethos, in our understanding of the ways in which we act on that which we believe, in our understanding of the way in which we are determined to serve the world in which we live. On Sundays, we gather here in this place to celebrate the relationship that we have with the source of our being. We lift up the ethos of that we hold dear, and we get reinvigorated for the lives that we live and the work that we do in the world each day. This agenda of ours, as summarized in our Sunday worship, will continue to shape our identity and inform the living of our lives as we celebrate our history and morph into the future. It will continue to be central in our congregational life, even when the celebrating and the morphing start to take up a lot of our time and energy. Now, at the core of our communal life together lies that which I've already named, the source of our common ethos, that which I am still happy to name as God. But even though I am willing to use God language, it's important for us to have some consensus about the meaning of God. If we're going to use the concept of God as a central aspect of our community identity, we should understand as best as possible what we're talking about. These days in the United Church of Canada, we're trying to build a consensus on the meaning of God as it's articulated in our most recent faith statement, a song of faith. We began with the opening lines from a song of faith in our call to worship this morning. Again, God is holy mystery, beyond complete knowledge, above perfect description, yet in love the one eternal God seeks relationship. And so God creates the universe, and with it the possibility of being and relating. God tends the universe, mending the broken, reconciling the estranged. God enlivens the universe, guiding all things toward harmony with their source. God is creative and self-giving, generously moving in all the near and distant corners of the universe. Nothing exists that does not find its source in God. This, of course, is not a scientific description. It's more like a piece of poetry laced with mysterious imagery. It has a strong focus on relationship, the relationship between creator and creation, the role of generosity and self-giving in bringing about healing and reconciliation in relationship. And there's also an immediate ethical quality to this understanding of God. Life, love, harmony, generosity, these are good things emanating from the creative presence of God in the universe. Now, in the United Church, we don't see our faith statements as creedal prescriptions, but it's good to have theological descriptions which reflect back to us the work that we're doing to express our common faith. Now, another way in which we reflect on the meaning of God is in the music that we use in worship, particularly in the hymns that we sing. And today, for example, we have carefully chosen a hymn about God that we're going to sing after the sermon. I don't mind at all if you want to pull out your more voices and turn to page 44 where this hymn is found. The title of the hymn, also the title of this sermon, is Shadow and Substance. It is a hymn about God, and it could be a kind of theological theme song for us today. Shadow and substance, wonder and mystery, spellbinding spinner of atoms and earth, soul of the cosmos, person and energy, source of our being, we sing of your worth. Did Dan Damon, the hymn writer, have a copy of A Song of Faith in front of him when he wrote this hymn? Or, more likely, is Dan simply a kindred spirit with us in the United Church? Now, I really like the second verse. We are your image, formed in community, sisters and brothers of Adam and Eve. You gave us color, custom, and history. Teach us to honor what others receive. Now, the first chapter of the Bible suggests that human beings were created in the image of God. And God said, "Let us make humankind in our image." It's in Genesis 1, verse 26. Notice that God is plural in this passage, as is the case more than 2,000 times when the word Elohim is used for God in the Hebrew Scriptures. The idea is that in creating humankind, this self-expression of God creates a plurality of human beings, a community of human beings, a diversity of human beings, created to exist together in harmony, in relationships that exhibit love, dignity, generosity, respect. Now, this, of course, is often not the reality of human experience, but our theology invites us to believe that it is our capacity, if not our destiny. With God's help, we are capable of living into the image of God in which we were created. And people of faith would say that this is what we are meant to do and to be. It's our God-given raison d'être. Now, the third verse of our hymn draws attention to our need for help in fulfilling our destiny, our need for help in becoming the good people we were meant to be. And herein lies the crux of our spiritual pursuit. Every religion maintains, along with many secular philosophical and wisdom traditions, that we humans cannot achieve goodness on our own. If we go back 500 years or so before the time of Jesus, one of the great Socratic dialogues in Plato's philosophy entitled Meno contains a debate between Socrates and Meno about whether or not virtue can be taught. In typical Socratic fashion, every aspect of the question is examined, and there is no definitive conclusion. But one of the things that Socrates says in the final statement is this: "Then, Meno, the conclusion may be that virtue comes to the virtuous by the gift of the gods." In the Christian tradition, a virtue is provided by the Holy Spirit. And we are invited, if not urged, to pray for it. Hence the last verse of Dan Damon's hymn, naming the nameless spirit of unity, scanning the heavens for signs of your care, God of the ages, give us humility. Guide us to mystical union in prayer. Now, perhaps you've noticed that I have managed to get through nearly an entire sermon without mentioning once today's scripture readings. And that is not my typical approach. And nor do I intend to suggest that our readings today have no place in this reflection. On the contrary, you might say I've saved the most important part for the last. As we continue to reflect on the place of God in our communal ethos and identity, along with the concepts found in our creeds and hymns, of course, we will also continue to draw wisdom and inspiration from the Bible. And it is, in fact, the gospel reading for today which stands behind the thoughts that I'm sharing with you in this sermon. Being such a well-known passage, it's hard to decide how to take a fresh approach to our gospel reading today. Everyone knows this most basic of the teachings of Jesus. You shall love the Holy One, your God, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Well, our reflection today should help us look at the question of what it means to love God. And so we can affirm, going back to the earlier reflection, we can affirm that to love God means to love the creative presence in a universe which is mending the broken and reconciling the estranged. To love the creative presence in the universe which enlivens the universe, guiding all things toward harmony with their source. To love God means to love right relationship and everything that fosters right relationship. Justice, compassion, generosity, humility. To love God means that we attribute so much value to right relationship that we're willing to set aside our own self-interest if needs be, and we're willing to ask for help from God in equipping ourselves with the spiritual wherewithal to participate in the great work of relationship building and reconciliation. God of the ages, give us humility. Guide us to mystical union in prayer. loving our neighbor will then come automatically. In the United Church, we have tended to put the focus on loving our neighbor. Just love your neighbor, we say to each other, and you'll be loving God all the same. And although that approach carries its own truth and its own profound truth, it does not essentially reflect the approach that we find in the biblical tradition or in the life and the teaching of Jesus. In the Bible, it all begins with God, albeit holy mystery, beyond complete knowledge, above perfect description, albeit shadow and substance, wonder and mystery. The community that we know as the church, not the institution, but the church, the gathered people, also has its origin in a self-expression of God. And was it not the same with the people of Trinity Church and St. Paul's? And with us, the people of Trinity St. Paul's and the Center for Faith, Justice, and the Arts? I think so. I hope so. I believe so. And as we go into the future, may we build on this identity of ours, this theological awareness that we don't exist unless we find our source in God. Shadow and substance, wonder and mystery, spellbinding spinner of atoms and earth, soul of the cosmos, person and energy, source of our being, we sing of your worth. So be it. Amen.